This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 255 for the week ending Saturday, January 10th, 2015. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nielsen, also your captain from Roswell, Georgia. And joining me today from Conyers, Maria Johnson.
Hello. Did you remember to unmute me today?
I did.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm getting better
at
this.
Good morning, everyone. Hello, hello.
255 episodes. I'm bound to improve. Maybe. And also joining us, we haven't seen her in some time. We'll have to figure out why when we talk to her later in the show. Sarah Vabulous, the Catholic Drinky.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And finally, last but not least, from Malta, Montana, Father Corey Stika.
Good morning.
There's a rodeo in Is there a rodeo in Montana this time of year? Probably not.
Nah, it's a little too cold for it right now.
Yeah,
We had blizzards the other day and all that kind of fun stuff.
Well, I bet it's cold. I mean, it's cold here in Atlanta. What was the temperature this morning, Maria? Like 21?
Yeah, and that was warmed up.
Yeah, I think it was like 9 degrees.
Yeah, that was warm for this week.
Yeah.
I'll actually give that as cold. I think we're fairly similar to that right now, but.
Really kind of crazy weather, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, we're six right now, so we're still a little cooler than you, but.
Uh-huh. Wow. That is cold.
I was going to win that one.
So.
No, it doesn't matter what.
Yeah, I know. There's pretty much no contest, is there, with Montana, the big sky country. Now,
well, there's for heat. You guys get a lot more heat than we do, which you can keep that.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the nice thing about Atlanta is that I love the four seasons, and you really get true four seasons here. I mean, it's, you know, you get extremely cold temperatures occasionally, and you get extremely hot temperatures occasionally, and then the springs.
It really is a lovely restaurant downtown.
Oh, the Four Seasons, yes. Yeah. And Vivaldi, I think, did a little ditty about the seasons as well.
Yeah, and I've seen Jersey Boys, so we're all good.
Got it covered. So, Sarah, where? Oh, Sarah, where have you been?
Well, I finished the draft of my manuscript to send in to my publisher, so that's why I wasn't on for a couple of weeks. And then last week I was just out of town, but yeah, so I finally finished the good old manuscript for the Catholic Drinkies Guide to Homebrewed Evangelism, and now we start the edits.
Excellent.
So I'll have the book cover to reveal pretty soon too. We're working on making some edits to the initial draft, and so hopefully that'll be out in the next couple of weeks. So I can't wait to share that with you guys.
Now, what was that I saw? Was that your Facebook cover?
Yeah, that's art? Just a stupid little graphic that I've got bored
of. It was
made.
Nice. I thought that was the real thing.
I was like, oh yeah, I want to make a cool cover photo. This is a really cool website that I used to make it. So
which website?
Canva. It's kind of like a dummies version of Photoshop online. It's really easy to do.
Okay, yeah,
that's my pick of the week, actually.
Blur tools and things like that.
Until I can come up with something else. So quite a load off your shoulders, not a complete load off your shoulders, but, you know, having finished the final draft, right?
Oh my gosh. The feeling that I got of elation when I hit that send button and I was like, I'm done. It was unparalleled. It felt like finishing college. When I turned in my final paper in my senior year of college, it was very similar to that. Or even senior year, I had to write a senior thesis that was, you know, 100 and something pages long. So it was very similar to turning that in. And so it just felt really nice.
I'll bet it did. Well, speaking of writing, Maria, how's your writing project going?
Well, I also turned mine in. So we'll see what that looks like next round. I think Sarah and I are kind of going tandem here with the with the process. So yeah, I'm finished with mine, turned it in, and now I wait to see what they have to say about what I need to change.
And if you're hearing sounds in the background, that's Maria Johnson cleaning her desk. She's multitasking while she's doing the show today.
Can you hear my rosary?
Occasionally, yeah. Wait. Can you hear this? It's an organ intro for the announcement that I forgot to mention at the very beginning, that today's episode is sponsored. Can you believe it? It's sponsored.
Wow.
Is sponsored by Stan, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Stan Sienkiewicz, Sienkiewicz. And Stan did a one-time donation to support SQPN and specifically the Catholic Weekend team. Yay!
Yay! Stan! Stan is the man, because you've never heard that before.
There we go. No, he's never heard that. So anyway, thank you, Stan, for sponsoring today's episode of Catholic Weekend. We do appreciate it. And thank you to all of you who supported the network during our podcast marathon a few weeks ago. No, just a couple weeks ago.
It was just 2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago, okay.
I know it seems like a long time ago, but...
Well, when you're this old... anyway. No, actually, it's the opposite, isn't it? When you, the older you get, everything feels a lot faster. Wasn't that just yesterday we did the podcast marathon? Anyways...
Golly, wasn't it yesterday, though, that it was New Year's for 2014? I don't even know where all of last year went.
I know. I know. Well, anyway, thank you, Stan, for sponsoring our show. And we do appreciate that. And I hope you're listening. Now, Stan says that he can't join us for the live recording on Saturday morning, so we can talk about him right now. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is in the audio recording, too. Oh, well, anyway, thank you, Stan. Wherever you are listening to us, we do appreciate your patronage. And the thing that I wanted to mention regarding the marathon, by the way, just a reminder, we met our end of the year fundraising goal of $18,000. We actually exceeded it by some amount, and we can still accept your donations if you'd like to continue to support us. But anyway, at one point, I guess it was when right after Greg and Jennifer recorded their show, The Catholics Next Door, we were talking about some of the old things that we remember about the early days of podcasting, Catholic podcasting specifically, and we were talking about the event where Father Roderick was in the clofus, which is closet in the Willett's home when they were living in Conyers, and he was recording one of his daily breakfast shows. That was what it was called before the break, and so we tried to find that particular episode, and we were not successful during the marathon. But shortly afterwards, Inga and I think somebody else, I think Lynn may have found it as well, found the episode that we were looking for. So would you mind if I played a little bit of that so that we can remember?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me make sure we have time. Yeah, we do. Okay. Let me go back to this. Here we go.
Yes, as we speak, just to listen to it, Greg showed me that there's even a video podcast online that you can get.
So he's recording
his
show
with the producers there, Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse, and that's kind of fun. They do audio podcasts regularly. It's the official Lost podcast, but oh my gosh! Hold on! Oh God. Greg? I just spilled water over his MacBook. Oh my God.
Yeah, this does not get old.
I'm getting anxiety listening to
it. Oh, I had a glass of water here on. This is always what I really dread with my own computer. And now it actually happened with Greg's computer. Oh my goodness, this is a MacBook Pro. It's not good. Greg! He can't hear me. Oh my gosh.
It's well insulated, that clofus. He can't hear me.
Right, this is happening live on the show. This is not theater. This is happening. Oh my goodness.
This is not a drill.
You can still hear that bumper going on in the background.
Idiot to put this glass of water while I'm podcasting. Oh man. Okay, well, I guess guess, how do I shut off this thing? Hold on. I'll be back in a sec.
You know what I love about this is that that loop is continuing to go in the background. And he just leaves. And what's great is he kept it in the show.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't cut it out, but I suppose he figured it was too good to cut out.
I wiped it off as fast as I could do.
Uh-oh, Greg's
right now. It was on the inside. It was open, so I kind of shut it down immediately. It seems to work, but oh my god. I had this glass of water and it just
totally
I had to turn down
Greg's
the power.
Yeah,
drive.
Greg's going, that's okay.
The laptop itself is very hot, so that might help. But I just couldn't find the on and off switch. Oh man, I'm so sorry.
How much water went in there?
No, just a bit. Because I immediately kind of wiped it off, swiped it off the surface. But try to turn it off as soon as possible.
Not, it's fine.
It's fine.
All right.
It's fine.
You can hear the tension in his voice all like down. It's fine, really.
Oh man. It should have like a hard switch to put it off.
Yeah, but it's in the middle of installing an OS X update, so.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you still have water there.
No, it was a bit of water, but I was like, oh my goodness, what's happening?
The camera did it.
Yeah, a little bit, but the camera is waterproof. That's no problem. I mean, that's the laptop that I'm afraid of. I've got a good travel insurance, so
did you get it on your? Well, we also have.
No, it's okay.
Apple Care.
Yeah, well, Apple Care doesn't cover these kind of accidents. I don't think so. It's just when you're. Oh my goodness, just water.
He's gonna sit there and argue with him whether.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, are you still recording?
Sure, I'm still recording. The show is on. This is happening all live on the Daily Breakfast.
How dare you do this, Father Roderick? I can't believe you spilled water all over my computer! I'm so sorry, Greg. I really didn't do it on purpose. It's just that I'm so jealous of your cool MacBook Pro, and I just wanted to get revenge, you know? I just couldn't stand it anymore. I'm just walking with this.
No! Oh.
What's this green stuff that's oozing out the bottom?
Yeah, I don't know. Boogers? Must be something from your kids.
It's like some sort of...
Green stuff, you're kidding. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that'll teach me to come in and try to show you the latest law.
And actually, it was Greg who put the laptop there because he wanted to show me this video podcast of Lost. Right. Oh, man. Total disaster here on the Daily Breakfast Live.
Okay.
Is there a patron saint for these kind of disasters? There should be.
St. Apollonius?
St. Apollonius? Oh, well. Boy, I hope it's going to be okay. Well, if you want to find out what happened to the MacBook Pro and if it's really... more water resistant than Apple. Oh man, there's really water all over the place here.
Well, that's enough of that. That was so. You know what was great about that is that Greg didn't realize that they were actually being recorded. So he wasn't, you know, putting on, you know, the fact that he didn't seem like he was that concerned about it, which is
Greg!
Pretty amazing.
Greg.
Hey, you can't hear me. Oh, no. You could tell right before he spilled it or hit it that he was, like, moving things around or looking for something. You know, you could just tell something.
Clunk.
Yeah.
We've all been there. I've spilt water on my MacBook Air.
Oh, boy. How did it fare?
It was fine. It's my work computer, too. And if we mess up our work Macs, we have to get PCs. So I was like, please no, please no, please no.
That's pretty severe punishment.
I know.
No kidding.
Well, no doubt you hear the music coming up in the background here. And that means it's time for our first break. And yeah, you got it. We always talk about supporting SQPN. And this show is not going to be any different. So, thank you again for all of you who have contributed to SQPN in the past. And those of you out there listening right now who have never contributed, why don't you consider it? I know it's a new tax year, your donations are tax deductible in most cases. So, why not get 2015 off to a great start by becoming a friend of SQPN? And you can do that by heading over to sqpn.com. patreon.com/donate. And there you'll find very convenient ways to support the show, like Stan Sinkowitz did by sponsoring today's show. You want to sponsor a show like The Break, The Walk, Geek Priest, or Geek Week? What does he call it now? Geek Week, I think?
It's Geek Week, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and Catholic Weekend. All of that is there on the site. Again, sqpn.com/donate, and you'll find ways to, you know, talk about something that you want to celebrate or something you want to promote or whatever. So thank you again, everyone, for a successful year-end fundraising campaign, and we look forward to bringing you great stuff here in 2015. And we'll let Alan and his crew finish Puxatani Phil. I guess my commercial is too short. Still got a ways to go yet, so I'm going to go ahead and very, very professionally mute Alan. Thank you, Alan. All right. Let's start our next segment. What are you laughing about, Sarah?
You. Always you.
Thank you. I don't think you mean that in a nice way, though.
It's very endearing, Jeff.
Okay, good. Kind of in a pitiful way. Hey, you heard about the fact that Pope Francis...
Like the cat that runs into the front door. Have you seen that video?
No. Tell me about it.
Oh, I'll have to find it, but there's a video where I think it might even be in France where this cat's like running and it runs straight into a door and it's just so sad, hilarious. Like,
is it like a solid door or a...
Like a glass door or something like that. It's one of those, you know, looped videos. So it's just very funny.
You just didn't watch it for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
My 80-something-year-old aunt periodically walks aggressively into the sliding glass door at my mother's.
You know, remember years ago when I was a kid, they didn't have safety glass on those sliding glass doors.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And I remember several times in elementary school where kids would be in the hospital, you know, with severe injuries from the shards of glass, you know.
One of my friends did that. It was actually kind of hilarious. We were remembering it not too long ago.
Wasn't hilarious to her.
Yeah. No, to him. He was a big guy, and he was stupid. And he's like one of these people who 35, 40 years later, this guy still hasn't matured. He's still 12 years old. And so we were kind of making fun of how he is exactly the same stupid 12-year-old that he was back then. So it was not a charitable conversation, Father Corey. Uh-huh. And, we were recalling that he ran at high speed through the door. He actually made it through. He cut himself up everywhere, but he didn't kill himself, probably because of how fast he went through the thing. But he what a dummy.
What a dummy.
Jeff, I sent you the video in our chat. It's a French cooking show, baking show, and as they were filming the front of the store, this cat.
Are you watching it now?
Yes.
Yeah, like I've watched it like 10 times already.
So okay, I've seen that one. That is so good.
They show the front door of the restaurant, and the glass door is open at a 90-degree angle. Boom. the cat hit it so hard that it actually it was like being propped open by something, and it hit it so hard that it ended up closing. Because
for the record, you can pull this video up by googling "cat hits door."
That poor cat. Oh boy. Well, the things that we do, right?
This is us watch things that our listeners can't see.
I know.
See.
I hope everybody is enjoying.
It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes for sure. And, hey, just a reminder to everybody, if you want to send us voice feedback, audio feedback, you can head over to 1-862-200-SQPN. That's 862-200-7776. And it is not toll-free. So, just a warning. But... if you'd like to have your voice heard on our show, you can
instead of ours.
Do that. Yeah, instead of ours. And then also Catholic Weekend at SQPN.com sends you to our email feedback. And if you're on the website, our Catholic Weekend page on SQPN.com, you can comment on the shows, as Melanie did back December 17th of last year. We were talking about on the show right before that about San Diego, and I think Lynn was talking about going out to San Diego. And the fact, you know, I was kind of joking around that it was named for, or maybe we were talking about, no, I know what it was. We were talking about the Feast of Guadalupe, right? And the patrons, what was that feast? The
San Juan, the San Juan Diego feast.
Yeah, day? You know,
that's
we were talking about
Guadalupe.
Yeah, well, anyway, we were talking something about that where San Diego, and I was just kind of fooling around and said the city of San Diego was named for Juan Diego. And of course, I know that it wasn't. And she says, just wanted to let you know that San Diego, or San Diego, is named for Saint Didacus of Alcala in Spain. Also, a fun fact, San Diego was originally named, do you know this, anybody?
What the original? Best Diego?
Yeah. No.
Carmen?
Okay, here's a hint. It's a famous beer in the Philippines. It's a famous beer in the Philippines, and it's named for a saint.
San Miguel.
San Miguel.
Saint Pauli girl?
No. Yeah. Wrong country. Yes. San Diego was Saint Pauli girl. California. Oh, my. That's a good one, though. San Miguel.
I need to say the only reason why I know San Miguel is because we drank quite a bit of it over in the Holy Land.
Did you?
When we were over there, I was with a group that we all enjoyed our beer. So
why
one of the hotels had San Miguel on tap, and we enjoyed it.
From the Philippines?
Yep.
Oh,
very good.
Now, what you really have to do is you have to go to the Philippines and drink the – because what we're drinking outside of the Philippines is not the – it's the – export version of the beer. Mm-hmm. But if you go over to the Philippines and drink it there, I don't know what they put in it, but it tastes different and it gives you a mean headache. Somebody said it has formaldehyde or something in it. But that's what we used to drink a lot in the Air Force when we were on layover crew rest in the Philippines. Anyway, another comment from Matthew Sewell, author of Mountain Catholic. And he said, thanks for the shout out, everyone. Great show. God bless you all. Thank you, Matthew. We were talking about I think it was the five ways that we can continue to celebrate Christmas throughout the year. So what is it now? The 15th day of Christmas?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be the, yeah, I guess you're probably about right.
I just guessed. I don't know.
We've lost count at this point.
Yeah, it's not really the 15th day of Christmas, but it feels like it.
It doesn't help much when you have Epiphany that's not on Epiphany, but it's on Sunday. So,
you know, and I completely forgot on Tuesday that was the actual day of the Epiphany.
Yep. The 6th, traditionally the Feast of the Epiphany, and that's the, depending on how you count it, it's either the 12th or the 13th, because if you start Christmas Day as day one, it's the 13th. If you start the day after as day one, then it's the 12th.
Wouldn't you start on the day, though? I mean, that's what I
think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
We still celebrate. We celebrate Epiphany for the gifts in Latin American culture, Spanish culture, in Spain and Latin America.
Do you exchange gifts on Christmas Day as well?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
Actually, so you do it all.
Yeah, well, best of both worlds, man. I'm talking about that.
Double gifts.
We don't give really good gifts. We just give a little token. Mm-hmm. Like people get socks and underwear and stuff like that. Maybe a CD or a book.
That's what I got for my main gift.
A book?
A CD? No, underwear and socks.
Underwear?
No, I'm just kidding.
Please model it for us.
No.
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay.
I can't even stand out to appreciate an audio show. What are you talking about, girl?
Good thing we're at our next break.
Good thing.
No, I know.
Yep, we're at the bottom of the hour break, and it is time to talk about something. You know what we could talk about? We could talk about the great event that is coming up this summer on June 7th, 2015.
Woo-hoo.
the Catholic New Media Celebration, CNMC 2015, the Jubilee Celebration, celebrating 10 years of Catholic New Media. And the first one was held right where we're going to hold this one this year, in 2008. We held it the day after the Eucharistic Congress held by the Archdiocese of Atlanta. And we're going to do the same thing this year. That was 2008, so not quite 10 years of CNMC's, but 10 years of our involvement, SQPN's involvement in Catholic New Media and evangelization. So, we're still in the final stages of formulating the all the details in regard to the CNMC, so keep tuned in for that, and hopefully we'll have some information about ticket sales and accommodations and that kind of thing in the coming weeks. So, and if you didn't hear, Greg Willits, the guy that basically started the whole CNMC thing and back in 2008, is going to be our opening keynote speaker. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you were hanging around with us on the 27th of December for the podcast marathon, it was kind of like an old home week or homecoming. That was a little taste, a little tease of what it's going to be like in June 7th, at the Georgia International Convention Center for our CNMC. So if you can make it, if there's any way to do it, please do put us on your schedule or that on the schedule. Okay. Anything else you want to say, Maria, about the CNMC?
Just excited for it.
Me too.
I'm going to be updating the site. Well, I think we can mention that... Elizabeth Scalia, who's the managing editor of the Catholic Portal at Athios, is going to be joining us.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to brew an SQPN beer.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
I hope you're going to brew more than 1 gallon of it.
Yeah, I'll do a couple of them.
Okay. Because there are going to be a lot of people there.
No. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I didn't say who would be getting the SQPN here.
It's an exclusive.
There we go.
An exclusive seating.
There we go.
Buy a book, get a beer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ooh. I bet you'll see a couple books for sale.
Well, dude, my book's not going to come out until the fall.
Oh, mine's going to be out in time, so hooray.
Oh.
Looking forward to it. So this week, did Lisa Hendy come out with any new books this week?
We should have her on the show.
If we had Lisa Hendy on the show every time she puts out a new book, we'd have her every weekend.
can that please be the title of this episode?
Lisa Hendy have a new book?
She's amazing, isn't she?
She is really a wonderful wonderful person. You know what's spectacular about Lisa is that, yeah, she's a prolific writer, but she is so good with the people that she mentors and helps, and you know, she's very much about shining the light on others. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know catholicmom.com, which is really more about catechesis and living the faith and being Catholic than it is really about mommy blogging anymore, it's really a pretty comprehensive site. Yeah. With even lots of men right there too. Check it out, because it really is it's a great resource.
It is. It very mm-hmm. much is.
Guys, so let me tell you, I am indeed cleaning my desk while we're talking. And
what did you
I
find?
Want you to see this. I found this. I don't know if you can see. It's supposed to be St. Francis. Okay, let me see if you can see his face. He looks like John Clem. Do you? I have a little statue of John Clem on my desk.
John? Is John in the chat room right now?
John in the chat room.
what do you need? Do you need to tell us something, John? Now, wait a minute.
Third Order Franciscan.
Franciscan. Oh, how about that?
Yeah, he is. Isn't that funny?
Wow.
Do you guys have Aldi's where you live? Well, I guess we all live in Atlanta, the three of us. So, Father, do you have an Aldi up by where you live?
No, we don't.
There's a fairly large Aldi down on the south side of our county, and John goes there every so often, and he came home with a statue of St. Francis, the little desk size statue. He goes, he was just sitting there randomly. I felt like I had to rescue him. So, so he brought me this little statue, and I'm cleaning the desk and dusting him off. And I was just reading through the sweet tweets from this week. And I thought, wow, it looks like John Clem.
And all of a sudden his head started animating and talking to you. Have you checked out the sweet tweets? Excuse me.
I can't unsee it now.
Oh, man.
Now, John, in some very weird and random way, I'm going to be praying for you every time I look up at St. Francis.
And John Johnson rescued you, John, from that Aldi store.
Rescued by another John.
Hey, well, so we were just talking about what John Clem is up to, obviously hanging out at Aldi stores. So what's Pope Francis up to? This is an article on the 6th by Father Dwight Longenecker, and we've had him on the show before. And he's talking about in this article here about the 15 new cardinals that the Pope announced on Sunday. And Father Dwight's take on it is that it's monumental in several ways, and it indicates the way he sees, he being Pope Francis, he sees the church and the world and the work that the church has to do in this new century. First, out of 15 choices, none are from North America, 5 are from Europe, and 10 from the developing world. And then he has a list of the new cardinals, some from one from Portugal, Ethiopia, New Zealand, Italy, Vietnam, Mexico, Myanmar, Bangkok, Uruguay, Spain, Panama, and the archipelago of Cape Verde, and Tonga, of all places. And also he notes that a few surprises as well is that a couple of them aren't archbishops. They're all bishops, but a couple not archbishops. And the traditional powerhouses of Madrid, Venice, Turin, Chicago, and Los Angeles all are not led by cardinals, something virtually unheard of in modern Catholicism. So he says, what does it all mean? I think it means a lot. And he's talking about the fact that he's relegating some of the major Catholic players from the high table. And so kind of maybe focusing, kind of taking some of the priority away from these big, large population centers and focusing more on some of the places around the world that we don't really hear from very often. Mm-hmm. What's your take on it, Father?
Well, I think it is a very interesting shift. And I know Pope Francis, coming from more of a, what they call, you know, the Southern Hemisphere, coming from the Catholic South, I think is kind of the term people use. I know that's more of a focus of his. I think what he's trying to do, this is just my opinion, is he is trying to make it more of a, not so much European, North American group. A lot of the, before, even before, like when John Paul II was there, when he was naming cardinals, they were still very much heavily European, a few North American, you know, a few from Canada, United States, Mexico, places like that. But beyond that, there wasn't a lot in Africa. There wasn't a lot in South America. There were a few, but not a lot. Not a lot in Asia. And slowly, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and now definitely Pope Francis has tried to build these more cardinals from these areas. But these are the areas where Catholicism is still growing. Africa, Asia, especially Oriental Asia, you know, the China, Japan, Korea, places like that. Catholicism is still growing in these regions, whereas here in North America, especially U.S. and Canada, and then Europe, Catholicism is shrinking, sadly, or at least it would be here in the United States if we didn't have so much immigration from Mexico, Venezuela, places like that, where it's a very heavy Catholic population. So I think he's trying to, if you will, redistribute the population of the cardinals to match where Catholicism is the most vibrant at this time. You know, and that could mean that our next pope could be an African. There was a lot of rumors that Cardinal Arinze was a very likely candidate at the last conclave didn't happen, but a very likely candidate. Of course, he's from Africa. It's possible that one of these cardinals from Asia could become our next pope. So I think that's a good thing. I think it's a very good thing. I was kind of surprised where they mentioned Los Angeles, where Los Angeles, I think, has only had, I don't know the exact number. Someone can look it up and probably correct me, but it's only had about two or three cardinals. Chicago's had quite a few numbers, and I'm sure Archbishop Cupich will eventually become a cardinal, just not this round. Mm-hmm. Because Chicago's had quite a few cardinals in its history, and it is a major enough see here in the United States that it will happen. It's just not right now.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, there was a lot of speculation two conclaves back that Cardinal Arinze, am I saying that correctly, from Africa?
I pronounce it Arinze.
Arinze from Africa was, a lot of people were saying that he was one of the top runners for that mm-hmm. conclave. Not the last one, though. For some reason, not a lot of talk about him. He was included in that list, but mm-hmm. But he's still out there. He's still...
Yeah, and there's a younger bishop or cardinal. Is he from Nigeria? I can't remember where. Not Uruguay, that's in South America. Somewhere there, in another African bishop, a younger one, who is also very much was a possibility in the last election. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I personally think it's a very good thing, because it was a big surprise when John Paul II was elected, because he was the first non-Italian pope in something like 500 years. Mm-hmm. And then we have Pope Benedict. And then now we've got, of course, Pope Francis, the first non-European pope in very long time. Mm-hmm. And of course, the first American pope.
Which is really kind of weird, because he's actually, I think, of Italian descent.
He is, but he's now, was it, he was, his family emigrated from Italy? Is that what it was?
I think so. I think that that area.
Or was it he was born in Italy and moved over? I can't remember how it worked, but. It's something where the church right now is heavily in the Catholic South. So it's good that these cardinals are coming from there.
Well, I read a tweet when the list came out. I went to read it to see who was on it, mostly because of my own interest in who might show up on that list. But I think that it was the bishop from Panama that found out that he was picked as a cardinal, because his sister saw it on maybe Zenit or something and called him.
Oh, good to hear from you. What's up? Oh, did you know you're a cardinal? What?
I thought it was just, I don't know, there was just something so endearing about that, to think that, you know, it was just cute.
That is cute. Hey, did you, the Pope also said, spend a lot of time looking in the mirror? You might be a narcissist. Mm. In his homily on Friday, just yesterday, Pope Francis cautioned against the narcissism of those who close their hearts out of fear, insecurity, or vanity, saying that only the Holy Spirit can make us docile and open to love. We have mirror men and women who are wedded to their own image in the mirror, who are closed in on themselves and are constantly looking at themselves, right? These religious narcissists, right? These people have a hardened heart because they are closed in on themselves. They are not open, and they seek to defend themselves with these walls that they have created around themselves. So he was speaking to those present in the chapel of the Vatican St. Martha guest house, centering his reflections on the day's gospel reading, which recounted how Jesus' disciples were afraid when they saw him walking on the water. Mm. So, interesting. Now, of course, it's no formal proclamation that Catholics can't participate in Zen and yoga and that kind of thing. I think somewhere, let me look at the full article here. He did talk a little bit about that, I think. But You can follow thousands of catechism courses, thousands of spirituality courses, thousands of yoga or Zen courses and all these things, but none of this will be able to give you the freedom as a child of God. Only the Holy Spirit can prompt your heart to say, Father, and break the hardness of heart so that it is free to love. So, very, very profound. Of course, we expect that from our Holy Father. So,
yeah. No, that's it was a beautiful thought. It was kind of funny the way the headlines made it sound like he was rejecting yoga and Zen Buddhism, which, I mean, we as Catholic, we do have to be very careful with stuff like that. Zen Buddhism is contrary to the Catholic faith. And yoga, you know, there's some argument whether or not just doing the stretching exercises that's part of yoga is an issue. But of course, it was more than that. You know, saying you can do all these different practices, but if you're not open to the Holy Spirit, if you're not open to our Lord, it's not going to do you any good.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, isn't it? I mean, some of these spiritually oriented or connected kind of practices, I'm sure there's some good in them with the, you know, physically and, you know, maybe emotionally, mentally, but not spiritually. And I think that sometimes that barrier is crossed. And I think that's why.
Well, because your mind and what is it, your soul and your physical body are one.
So exactly.
Whatever you're doing physically, you're exposing your soul to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like we have.
That's what the danger of it is.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the big heresies in the past is that that the body and soul are separated, and that's what Zen Buddhism says. That this our bodies are just containers that contain our soul while we're here on earth, you know, while we're alive. But we believe as Catholics that no, they're one and the same. We're united, body and soul. You can't separate two. Actually, you can. It's called death.
That, right. So
when that's the definition
that's
of death.
Very clear,
that's right.
Father.
But that's true. That is the definition of death, is when our souls and our bodies are separated.
Exactly.
And then at the final judgment, when we're all resurrected, then that's where everything comes back together again, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Full circle.
So that's why the physical sins, there are deadly physical sins. There are mortal physical sins, just as there are mortal spiritual sins. We can do things physically that can lead us, even if it doesn't hurt anyone. You always hear that phrase, oh, we're consenting, or it doesn't hurt anyone. Well, it hurts you, because what we do physically also affects our spirituality and vice versa. What we do spiritually affects us physically. You can't separate the two. Though some would like to.
Yeah. Some people say, and I believe it, that your mental and emotional state really does have a big impact on your physical well-being.
Absolutely.
And that some people who seemingly make it unscathed through some major diseases, usually it's the connection is to the fact that they have a very positive outlook and have faith and that kind of thing. And where people that don't have positive outlooks in life and everything else, maybe even are causing the diseases in their human physical bodies. And
Well, we believe, you know, we believe in the anointing of the sick, and we believe that it can have and does have a healing effect. And sometimes that healing is a spiritual healing. It is on the spiritual realm. It's helping us, you know, someone is terminally ill. It's a healing to prepare themselves to enter into eternal life. But there are case after case after case where someone is very seriously ill. They receive the anointing, and within days, they're recovered much faster than they would be if they did not receive the anointing, most likely.
Yeah.
And of course, how do you prove that? You really can't, not empirically, but we believe that it does happen, and that the anointing of the sick does have a physical healing component if the person is open to it.
Right. I guess it all has to be present to be effective.
Yep.
And I'm not present, usually, and not effective. So here we go. Here's a break. Not a very good transition, but it's what it is. Our last break before we do our picks of the week and our plugola. And then we'll be on our way out of here and on with the rest of our Catholic weekend. Again, just a reminder, if you want to help out, friends of SQPN at SQPN.com. Thank you again, Stan, for sponsoring today's show. If you want to sponsor a show, head over to sqpn.com/donate, and there's information there on how to do it. And finally, if you want to help us out with your purchases on Amazon.com, please visit our site and click on the Amazon link for your specific country before you make your purchase. And you won't pay any more, but we'll get a little bit of that purchase price as a donation to our organization. And as I said many times, it really does add up. And also, if you're presented with the option to designate a charity under the Smile program at Amazon, please choose SQPN, not Catholic Weekend. You won't find us there. please select Maria Johnson. No, just kidding. She is a charity case, but not a 501c3.
No. I could go. I want that $8.9 million house on Delray Beach, so if you want to, go fund me.
Yeah. You got an Indiegogo, GoFundMe, and a Kickstarter campaign for the $7 million house?
Oh,
I'm sure they'll give you a little break on that.
You know, did I share that story with you?
Yeah. You know what? If you just come in with cash, then you could probably knock a million off of that.
Probably I could.
Boom, do, 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 do.
I don't think the knock and you shall receive thing works there.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what it is? It's time for... We love you, Pat Gohn. We haven't heard from you in a while. We need to have her back on the show.
We should.
Yes. Anywho, why don't one of you do your picks of the week while I try to think of something to be a...
While you try to think of something. I have a pick of the week.
Okay. Actually. Well, then you go.
It's actually a request. You guys remember these things? Anybody use an old MP3 player?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... One of my Facebook friends, Sister Mary Cancier, I think is how you might pronounce her last name. She's one of the Marian. Is it Marian Sisters? I can't remember which order
she's in. She's out in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, in Lincoln, Nebraska. So she says that her sisters in the order, there's about 35 of them who would like to be able to listen to books on MP3 or listen to prayers or talks or any whatever it is that they need to listen to. So she put out a request for MP3 players, old MP3 players that, good heavens, ever since we've all switched over to phones, we probably had them back in the day, but I can't throw away electronics. So I've had this two gig MP3 player on my desk, and I'm going to send it to her, and she's asked for donations of old MP3 players. So if anybody out there would like to donate theirs to the sisters out in Nebraska, send me a message, and I will collect them and send them to her in bulk so that she can have, you know, maybe a handful of them coming in besides mine. So that's what my pick of the week is, the sisters out in Nebraska.
Excellent.
Here's my first iPod.
Oh my gosh. How much is that thing? Put it next to your phone. Put it next to your phone.
Okay. People are selling those on eBay for hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
Really?
Seriously?
This one doesn't have the 160 gigabyte hard drive on it. I don't know how. I'm not even sure if it works. I haven't fired this thing.
The battery's probably dead on it.
Yeah, I'm sure. So this is the iPhone 6. Right there, and then you look at the thinness.
Oh my gosh, look at that.
That's too funny.
But this is what a nice, God, this feels so great. I mean, it's all nice and smooth, rounded corners, and what a great.
They still look good. I mean, they're 10 years old, 15 years old. They still look good.
I'm like you, Maria. I don't like to throw away the electronic. I have like old iBooks and MacBooks.
Yeah, I just can't get rid of them.
Let's see. Here's my original iPhone, first generation.
Still have that.
And then this is my 3G that with a cover on it. So, yeah. What are you doing, Sarah?
looking at all. I know I have an iPod Mini, but I can't find it. I also had the iPod Mini that had the little screen, like the color screen, and then I had the iPod Mini that was just the stick.
Oh yeah, like the.
Yeah,
it had no screen at all.
I think I've got one of those around here, but I can't find the charger.
And then I have an iPod Video that's from like 2004.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I still have it, but the battery's dead, so I can only use it. It works, but you have to have it plugged in order to be using it.
Uh huh.
Did you ever get a Shuffle?
Yeah, that's that one that was like a stick. Yeah, I had a Shuffle.
Yep. Yep. It was just a stick with the buttons. That's all it had.
Yeah, no screen. So,
nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it's really absurd how much money I spent on stuff I didn't need. Like when I was in college, right after college, when I was living at home and working and not paying any rent. Like, come on, kid. Why didn't you save more money?
That's no fun.
I'm spending it on stuff. That's why.
And then when you get to be our age and we go, get off the lawn, I think that you're probably right around the corner of that one. Get off the lawn.
Please, my upstairs neighbors can be so loud. I started pounding on the ceiling. I also can yell at them through the air conditioning vent. And I'm like, I can hear you. I like officially have hit old lady status. That's funny.
Look at this. Even Jeff is still going down memory lane. Look at what he pulled up.
this is the stick, the Shuffle, I think. But it's in a blue case. But look at this. I just turned on the light came on.
Oh.
It still has juice in it.
Cool.
Anyway. Oh, enough fun with that. So that's a great pick, Maria. Father Corey, do you have a pick of the week?
I do, and mine's more of a spiritual pick, if you will. And this actually starts next weekend, next Saturday, but I thought I'd pick it in advance so people could sign up for it. Every year, of course, January 22nd is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade here in the United States, the Supreme Court decision basically legalizing abortion at any time here in the United States. So the bishops have, over the past couple of years, have done a campaign called 9 Days for Life of Prayer, Penance, and Pilgrimage. So they have a website you can go to. It's the number 9daysforlife.com, where you can sign up for this 9-day novena. That's why it's 9 days. It's a novena to pray for the respect of life, not just the respect of life for the end of abortion, but the respect of life ending euthanasia, the respect of life for those who are in, anywhere where life is threatened. And again, this isn't even just terminal. It's not murder, not just murder and things like that, but respect for life for people who are in poverty and so on, that we respect all life, because that's what we're called to do as Catholics, that we are to respect life from natural conception to natural death. So encourage you to go and sign up for this. They have there's 4 ways you can join on this novena. They have an app in the App Store for both Android and Apple for iPhone. They have a text message. You can text message either English or Spanish. You can join by email, or you can go online. You can sit there and you can print out the pages online. There's a printable booklet for the novena. So I encourage everyone to go and do that, to sign up for that. It's a beautiful prayer. Like I said, it's a 9-day novena to pray that our country, and those who are international, you could join as well and pray that throughout the world, all of our countries respect life. So again, this starts next Saturday. So you can go to 9daysforlife.com.
Excellent. 9daysforlife.com. Thank you, Father. Sarah.
This book, Connected poured communion. I just got it this week. It's awesome. So, you know, for those of you guys who might know me or don't know me, I really have a passion for figuring out how we can communicate better with people from that don't necessarily go to church all the time, and figuring out why people are leaving the church and how we can do better to bring them back. And this really talks about, you know, social media and good communication strategies, and how we can, as lay Catholics, apply them to our lives as well. So it's a little bit academic, but that's why I like it. So connected toward communion.
Excellent. We'll look for it in your favorite Catholic bookstore or Amazon or somewhere like that, where great books are sold. And my pick of the week is chocolate.
Oh my goodness.
This is, I don't know if you've ever had Lindor.
My navel?
Chocolates. Yeah, Lindt. We're not talking about navel, Lindt. And apparently this is a new flavor and it's wonderful. If you like chocolate and orange mixed together, which I do. Delicious. You know, I guess my family must really think that I love chocolate because I can't tell you how many chocolate bars and chocolate stuff that I got for Christmas. And I'm thinking, you know, how is that going to help me lose weight? But anyway, that's my pick of the week. I know it's lame, but I love chocolate and orange. Got to check it out. Okay. And so now.
Here's mine.
Oh, Tums. Yeah. I keep.
Look, it's empty. I have like 5 Tums left in the bottle after this is. It took an entire book / bottle of Tums.
You know, I'm carrying around a bottle of that stuff too. That's not a good sign, is it?
I always take it with me when I travel. ROLAIDS spells relief.
Yes, it does.
And I buy the generic brand version of both.
Does that work as well?
It seems to work for me, what little I need it.
Because every time I go look, you know, like at the drugstore, I see the CVS brand or whatever, you know, the store brand.
A lot of times those things, they're made by the same companies anymore.
Yeah.
It's hit or miss. Some things are, some things aren't. Yeah. But a lot of that kind of stuff, it's all the same recipe a lot of times.
That is true. Well, Father, since you're talking, why don't you tell us how we can find more about you on the interwebs?
Well, easiest way, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Instagram, a lot of those Untapped the Beer social network at Fr. Corey Sticha, last name spelled Sticha. And you can find my homilies at frcorry.org.
Excellent. Maria Johnson, another cup of coffee. Are you ready for that?
Another cup of coffee. I have another picture up, actually a few pictures up for this week's photo challenge. But guess what, guys? I started blogging in Spanish again.
Wow.
So yeah. I revived a Spanish blog that I started years ago and let go. And so I brought that back. So you can see links to that. And I'm also going to be posting them at CatholicMom.com. So check that out and follow me on the Twitters at Pago.
Excellent. And Sarah Vabulous, the Catholic Drinky.
You can find me at Catholic Drinky on Twitter, Facebook, and I'm going to be writing some blog posts this week to have scheduled out. That's my 2015 New Year's resolution, is to blog 2 or 3 times a week. Yay!
In Spanish.
No, English. English.
English, okay. Hey, I'm Captain Jeff, the Airline Pilot Guy, airlinepilotguy.com. Have a great Catholic weekend. Take care and God bless.
Way to get that under
SQPN,
the
line. Leading the way in Catholic new media.